Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
Folks, it's so frustrating. I have warned so many people, so many times, that we were headed right where we are.
The left-wing lunatics are trying very hard to bring back COVID lockdowns and mandates with all of their sudden fear-mongering about the new variants that are coming. Gee whiz, you know what else is coming? An election. They want to restart the COVID hysteria so they can justify more lockdowns, more censorship, more illegal drop boxes, more mail-in ballots, and trillions of dollars in payoffs to their political allies heading into the 2024 election. Does that sound familiar? But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words: we will not comply.
Well, here we are, folks. That is exactly, in a nutshell, what all of this is about. And the icing on the cake for these people would be convicting him and then indicting him and sending him to jail then. And it's all been so predictable.
3 hours of bold truth and excellence. You've just signed up for the WBR Army. Welcome aboard. This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Delighted to be with you. We've got our national security expert, Marine former federal agent with the FBI, John Guandolo, on the horn. John, I think you've got a little bit of ire, I think, going on today. I can feel the temperature from across the land.
Well, good morning, as always. It is a little bit of frustration and a number of things going on, but I see there are protests going on in Phoenix over a comedy show with several men who happen to be Jewish, and the protesters all happen to be Hamas lovers, terrorist lovers. So it's no surprise. What is disappointing and enraging and at some levels is that the citizens of Phoenix, Arizona, where this is going on, the police and the local leadership are doing nothing about it. They're giving the protesters free range, and not just, again, it's not to freely express themselves. It's that these are, we have Hamas groups on the ground operating in Phoenix, and to date, none of the Hamas terrorist groups and chapters there in Phoenix have been dealt with by the authorities in the last few years. We had a short period of time where we had some real leadership there in the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, but that time has passed, and the leadership, the sheriffs, the police chiefs, and the prosecutors are now dimwits who are not dealing with these problems, and that's sad.
No, I don't disagree with you. And so we hear we talk about these groups, like there was apparently a group that got in the way of Joe Biden's motorcade leading to the State of the Union. They allege that was part of the reason why he was late for his own State of the Union. John, these groups, though, they are well-funded, and it almost feels like we're the ones who are funding them.
Well, right. You've got, and it's interesting because as you and I have talked about, and you talk about a fair amount on your show, is that, you know, it's not just terrorists or jihadi groups at Hamas. You know, the funding for Hamas in the United States isn't merely coming from Iran and Gaza, for instance. As a matter of fact, a lot of the funding comes from Europe and people inside the United States who are not Muslim, who are not jihadis, but in fact are political left. They are, in most cases, communists. Sadly, a number of them are culturally Jewish, with these left-wing communist Jewish organizations that believe, you know, we're all one big happy family. And Israel, for instance, defending itself against the slaughter of October 7th by Hamas and other jihadi groups that were involved, you know, is mean, and we should stop them. So they're funding this. And, you know, one of these groups within our lifetime, and of course the title gives it away, within our lifetime, we destroy the Israeli state and establish an Islamic state there. They're getting money from, you know, non-Muslim sources.
Well, this is interesting. I just read this before you came on the show. Donors to Bob Menendez's legal defense linked to an ex-terror group. John, about 15% of the people who gave to Menendez's legal defense fund have links to the MEK, a controversial Iranian exile group. I mean, it's all out there in front of your face. This is so gross.
Right. And, you know, the old saying, follow the money. This is not new information. There have been numerous people testified on Congress, numerous investigations. This information is well known.
Right.
And it's not just from one source. The banks in Germany and England and other places that are involved, that are given their nod to funding, especially Hamas and those related entities. And the fact that they are being given a pass, really, is that's the part to me that I think is disgusting.
Right.
And I got to say, here in the United States, it really, you know, like, and I would like to talk more about it, but the work that I did in Phoenix over a period of years, we had good people there that defended our work, that pushed our work, and they really went to battle for us at the ground level, especially the county attorney, who now's a Supreme Court judge in Arizona. And yet, despite all of that, despite training literally thousands of police there in Arizona who know the truth, the leadership,
right,
like everywhere else, whether it's the churches, the businesses, the local, state, federal politicians, nobody wants to do the business of putting their heel to these evil
exactly.
people, these jihadis and communists.
You have to tell everybody the story about American Airlines and the airport there, the Phoenix airport there, and the guy who's in charge of the freaking baggage handlers. What?
Yeah, so as a part of the training that I was doing in Phoenix, and the research that I was doing, we've talked about on the show, one of the major Hamas fronts in America is the Council on American Islamic Relations, CAIR, CARE. And the leader of Hamas doing business as CARE in Arizona was a guy named Mohammed El Sharkway, who happened to be the supervisor for training baggage handlers at the Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix, and was the chairman of the police advisory committee for the greater Phoenix area, and was given an award by American Airlines for being a great, you know, great American Airlines employee. And when I sent them the facts about who this guy actually is, and that he's a Hamas leader,
that's a
good guy.
Oh, sorry, you just broke up on me, John.
You're bad mouthing it.
There you go. I'm sorry. You just broke up on me. Give me the last sentence that you just said. When you told them, what did they say to you?
They didn't care.
What?
They basically thought I was just bad mouthing a nice Muslim because I don't like Muslims, despite the fact I was given that evidence that was entered in the largest terrorism financing trial in American history to demonstrate that CARE is a Hamas entity, and they didn't do anything about it. They defended him, and that is what I find across the board, is people in positions of authority are aiding and abetting terrorists in just such a manner. And I've seen it with business leaders, I've seen it with pastors, I've seen it with government officials. I mean, you and I have talked about a lot of the Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas mm-hmm. people that work and have worked inside the U.S. government. And it's astounding that nobody does their duty to protect America.
I don't think anybody wants to be called Islamophobic or racist or anything. And so they tiptoe around stuff and they're weak. It's called weakness because it doesn't make you a hater to say this guy has a really dangerous, freaky past and he probably ought not be involved in aviation. Just going to say it.
Yeah, I'm not sure we need Hamas leaders training and running the baggage handlers at a major U.S. airport, but that's just me. You know, I guess I'm Islamophobic. You know, here's what I would say, though. I just 2 weeks ago gave a presentation in a large group of people in a big city, and one of the ladies said, look, you've demonstrated this is true, but, you know, if I start talking about this to friends,
yes,
you know, people are going to, you know, kind of attack me and go after my reputation. And I just stared at her for a few seconds. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I kind of ran through, and I just did it. It wasn't something I'd planned, but I just ran through the crap that I've dealt with in the last 15 years. I'm like, lady, they've tried to kill me and my family. I've had to, you know, I'm like, I went through like the cases. I'm like, I've been sued. I've been investigated by the IRS. I was on the watch list for 19 months till I got interviewed by the FBI. I'm like, yeah, doing the right thing against evil has a cost. But if you're saying you'd rather not do that, I think you're a coward.
There you go. John, I want you to chew on that for a second, because we have too freaking many cowards in this country. And it's time to step up, ladies and gentlemen. More with our national security expert, John Guandola, right after this. All right, let's get back out to our national security expert, former FBI agent John Guandola. Isn't it amazing what you just said? We've got a lot of people who don't have courage. We have a lot of people who are unwilling to step forward. And I don't understand what that is, John. What is it about a Joseph Ziegler or a Gary Shapler or a Matt Shapley or a Matt Taibbi or these people who are willing to go into the spotlight and put it all out there? People like you, willing to risk it all for the sake of something better, when so many people don't.
You know, I in my experience in looking at this, the effort by our adversaries, a lot of the effort has gone into, for several generations now, that they've undermined in the community the real presence of godly character of men and women, and especially men, the masculinity of men for now, I would argue at least two generations, has been under assault. That and it begins with the assault on our founding fathers. It begins with assaulting what is true about America, what is true about God, what is true about the Christian faith, about the Holy Trinity. It's an interesting conversation to have on the Friday before Holy Week begins, because I really do believe that's what it is. And, you know, true men and women of Christian faith have hope. And so if you lose your physical life, that's not nearly as important as losing your eternal life. And I would argue that there are a lot of people who say they're Christians, but belie their, you know, their true faith with the fact that they are scared to do and speak truth, do things that are true, that reflect the truth, and speak things that are the truth, and for whatever reason. And there are many reasons, but that still is cowardly, because it's really selfish. It's saying my life, I'm not going to just throw myself on a sword for no reason, but my life means something. Your life means something, but it doesn't mean more than defending other people, than standing up for what is truly right and just, and for standing up for the real good in this world. And it is amazing what I've seen in communities when just one person stands up, but amazing what happens when two or three people do and speak truth, how it changes the face of the community for the good. And that is why the stuff, the training we do, that I do and the people I work with do at the local level, you know, you get 20 or 30 people or 40 or 50 people in a county that actually understand and are unwilling to bend or break in the face of real tyranny, and they just get to work and roll up their sleeves and start identifying bad people and what they're doing. It's amazing. It has an immediate effect, and that's really, the whole war could be won that simply. And but the reason it's so difficult is because people are, many people, and what's sad is a lot of these people are people who call themselves Christians or patriots.
Patriots, yeah.
They're unwilling to do it.
Yeah. You know, the word patriot is kind of tossed around out there a lot like the word hero, because I think true heroes are embarrassed by the moniker, and true patriots don't spend time thinking about how patriotic they are. They're thinking about what they're going to do next to right something that's been wronged.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Well, and I find it interesting in the anticipation of Holy Week, all of these moves now in education to demonize marriage, to demonize the nuclear family. I hope everybody pays attention to that, John, because it's the play. They need to break you to get to your faith.
That's absolutely right. You know, people don't just quit and stop doing something for no reason. It's been an ongoing whittling down of somebody's perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can't give an inch. You gotta hold the line. You've gotta hold the line. It's that simple. Whether you're at work, at your children's event at school, or doing whatever it is you do in the normal life, and people aren't doing it, and that's why the country's sliding away from us.
I say this all the time, there is no negotiating with crazy, and we've gotten to that point. You've got to draw your line in the sand and say, no, that is not acceptable. I will not give on that, John.
Amen. Yeah, you just said it. The reality is that we have to stand firm, and I always tell people, I have a little different saying. It's, you can't have a reasonable discussion with unreasonable people. That's it.
Yes. I agree with you, John Guandolo. I think you're magic, and I appreciate your time and your expertise as you train America how to take back their communities one zip code at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, he always says it starts at the local level. John, have a wonderful weekend, love.
Thank you. You too.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, yes, we do have good news and bad jokes, but I do want to tell you, swing states swinging Donald Trump's way. This is particularly in Arizona. John was just talking about spotlighting Arizona. Well, we're going to do that when we come back, because what Donald Trump is doing there has got to have everybody in the Uniparty freaking. I got the details for you next. There was a phone call we took during the height of the lockdowns of COVID on this program. And it was a gentleman who, we don't take many phone calls if you pay attention. And he took my breath away because I was not expecting what he was going to say. And I believe the call segment had to do with people losing their minds, behaving poorly, people we know, people we love, people who have been friends of ours for years who just for some reason went off the deep end. And they demanded that we acquiesce to their request, demanded that we get vaccinated before we come into their businesses. They demanded that we take tests before we came into their kitchens at Thanksgiving. And it was just so ludicrous. And I remember I looked at Brock through the glass, and we just both looked at each other, just shook our heads. And this man phoned, and he told us about his daughters. He was from Ohio. His daughters lived in Pennsylvania. And they had beautiful grandchildren of his, and they would not permit him, would not allow him to travel to Pennsylvania to see his grandchildren, unless he could prove that he had gotten vaccinated. And I gasped. And I know he heard it because I didn't say anything for a moment. And then I said, so what are you going to do? And he said, not see my grandchildren. And I was like, holy smokes. I don't know what it is about certain kinds of people. Like, it's not a male or a female thing. It's not a religion thing. It's not a politics thing. I don't know if it's an upbringing thing that allows some people to say, you can't force me. You can't bully me. You can't push me in a direction that I'm not comfortable going. And I will not do that. Moreover, you make me even more resolved in my decisions. And while it will break my heart to not see the most precious things in my life, I will not obey. How dare you? That is the courage that John was just talking to us about. That in a lot of areas needs goading. It needs prodding. It needs a fire lit under it. It needs that one person before them to stand up and say, no, I don't understand it. But that's what it made me feel of. Made me feel that story. We've been through a lot together. This is not a time to quit. I found this story. Actually, Brock did. Who am I kidding? Battleground survey. Donald Trump leads Joe Biden in Arizona. This is now Trump ahead in all of the swing states. I saw something ridiculous that shows he's only up by 0.5%. Donald Trump is in my state of the land before time, Pennsylvania. I doubt that entirely. Entirely. Let's read this from Breitbart. I want to just get this for you before we get to good news. Former President Donald Trump leading President Joe Biden in the swing state of Arizona. This is the latest survey from The Hill and Emerson. He's boasting a 4-point advantage in Arizona against incumbent, obviously Democrat. 52 to 48%. Now, you might say to yourself, that's just barely outside most margins of error, which usually are between 3 and 4%, usually 3.5. This is giant, giant. The edge Trump has over the president is growing because in February, just a month ago, he led Biden by just 3 points in a head-to-head matchup in Arizona. Now, if you bring in these third-party candidates, you bring in RFK Jr., and I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's going to ruin it for Trump. That's not what it's looking like, at least not here in Arizona. Trump's lead over Biden expands to an even greater gap when third-party candidates are included in the mix. In that scenario, Trump sees 46% of the support, 8 points ahead of Joe Biden. No wonder they want to not give RFK Jr. Secret Service protection. No wonder guns are out for RFK Jr. Once he enters, Trump goes up, doubles his lead to 8 points. That's crazy. So Trump would go at 46. Biden 38, RFK seems to be getting about 7%, Jill Stein about 2%, and Colonel West about 1%. The survey was taken last week, so I'm going to say it's still pretty good to me. But maybe this is one of the reasons that Trump is moving ahead in places like Arizona. How about this headline? The trial of an Arizona border rancher charged with killing a migrant is set to open. This guy, who was tired of having his land trampled by illegal immigrants streaming across the border, went outside with his AK-47, AR-15, whatever it was, in an attempt to get everybody off of his property. His name is George Allen Kelly, 75 years old, charged with second-degree murder in the killing of a man that he encountered on his property in Arizona. And he apparently fired his gun. I guess he certainly didn't intend to shoot the guy. I'm not thinking he did. And he died. He shot at a group of unarmed migrants who were walking through his nearly 170-acre cattle ranch in the Keno Springs area. And this gentleman was among them. I'll say gentleman, whatever. Prosecutors have said Kelly recklessly fired an AK-47 towards the migrants who were about 100 yards away from him. Now, Kelly's lawyer has said his client shot into the air above the migrants and he feared for his life, his safety of his wife and the property. Can you imagine having a bunch of strangers a football field away from you on your property as they're marching towards you? What do you do? Well, see, in Arizona, much like in New York City, or apparently in Georgia, in Atlanta, you can be an illegal immigrant. You can beat up a cop. You can kill a woman. You can invade someone's land. You can damage their fencing, set free their cattle, do whatever you wish. And if somebody ends up taking arms up against you or pushing back against you, that is the individual who goes on trial. That's not how it works in these United States. Not at all. Maybe that is why Donald Trump is seeing the swing in all of these states. Who knows? But it's only going to get bigger. All right, you guys, I have a story for you. I love this good news story. And I love that how many of you send me stories because you know how much I have a boyfriend. His name is Steve Hartman. He doesn't know he's my boyfriend, but I love him. He's a great feature reporter for CBS News. He travels all around. And so let's start with this. I need some good. This is such a cute story about Steve Hartman traveling to Maine, where he comes across a third grader who decides to not go with the flow. When you want to talk about somebody standing up for what they want and being who they are, true to themselves, sometimes you got to learn it from a little boy.
Most 8-year-old boys don't get dressed to the nines. To them, suits are for bathing, and formal is a 4-letter word. But James Ramage of Chelsea, Maine, loves to dress for third grade success. He started a couple years ago, and at first, the other kids didn't know what to think.
Every time I saw him, I was just like, okay. And I'm like, why is he dressing up?
James knew he stood out.
Did you just decide one day, I don't care what other people are wearing?
I don't need to look like them anymore. I can be who I want to be.
In any school, a decision like that can go a few different ways. You can be accepted for who you are, ostracized for who you aren't, or in very rare circumstances, you can become a trendsetter.
It just kind of started.
Then more people started to do it.
Because it looked fun, and now people absolutely love it.
Today, once a week, Chelsea Elementary kids put on their finest for Dapper Wednesday. It's not a dress code. It's not because some adult said so. It's because the children chose so.
Nice dresses.
Teacher Dean Paquette was an early adopter and now an avid advocate.
Stop! Look at this! You look awesome!
Being dressed up, kids are different.
It is.
I think it's a self-esteem thing.
Yes.
And then it carries with them all the way through the day.
All right.
The kids agree. Told me they love how it feels.
I'm a little itchy, but it's fine.
Figuratively speaking.
It feels like I'm not a kid anymore.
It made me feel like I was ready for the day.
Feels like I'm like a president.
When James started all this, he had no idea the impact.
What's it like to be a trendsetter?
It just feels so nice.
But he doesn't think every kid should wear suits. Just whatever suits them.
Just wear what they want to wear.
Self-confidence. Always a good look. Steve Hartman, on the road in Chelsea, Maine.
It's just a great story. And I keep finding myself coming back to all of these stories of the younger people among us. They're not lost. These aren't people who are not paying attention. They see. They're smarter than we give them credit. And I have great faith in them. So that little boy, rock on. All right, it's Bad Joke Friday, ladies and gentlemen, straight from your fingertips to our mouths, next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. All right, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I know you have been waiting for this as much as we. This is our favorite part of the week, and you know what it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just flew in from New York, and boy, are my arms tired. I'm joking, of course. Anywho, welcome to the Comedy Club. Won't you give it up to Wendy and Brock for Bad Joke Friday?
There you go. Okay, this is from you guys. We don't provide these. This is all on you. So here you go. An old blind Marine wanders into an all-girl biker bar by mistake.
This doesn't sound like a bar I want to be in to begin with.
It's fantastic. You wouldn't want to go into an all-girl biker bar?
No.
Yes, you would.
No, I would
not. Why would you not?
That many women in one room without backup?
Oh, please. He finds his way to a bar stool, orders a shot of Jack Daniels. After sitting there for a while, he yells to the bartender, "Hey, you want to hear a blonde joke?" Bar immediately falls silent. In a very deep, husky voice, the woman next to him says, "Before you tell that joke, I think it's only fair, given that you're blind, that you should know five things. One, the bartender is a blonde girl with a baseball bat. Two, the bouncer is a blonde girl. Three, I'm 6 foot tall, 175 pound, blonde woman with a black belt in karate. Number four, the woman sitting next to me is blonde and a professional weightlifter. Number five, the lady to your right is blonde and a professional wrestler. Now think about it seriously. You want to tell that blonde joke?" The blind Marine thinks for a second, shakes his head, and mutters, "No, not if I'm going to have to explain it five times."
Oh, that's funny. We had a contest at work for best neckwear.
Ooh.
It was a tie.
Why should you stand in the corner if you're cold? Because a corner is 90 degrees.
Oh, God.
Ba-da-ba.
Five ants rented an apartment with five other ants. Now they're tenants. That's so stupid.
I bought a used UPS truck. It gets bad by gas mileage, but I can park anywhere.
Yeah, it's true. You can do it. You
can
park anywhere. What happened to the Easter Bunny when he misbehaved in school?
Huh.
He was egg spelled.
Son was getting ready for a date and asked his father, "How do I look?" Father said, "With your eyes." Oh, yeah, I know.
I saw a typo on a headstone the other day.
Ooh.
What a grave mistake.
Our teacher asked what my favorite animal was, and I said fried chicken. She said I wasn't funny, but she couldn't have been right because everyone else laughed. My parents told me, always tell the truth. I did. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. Told my dad that, and I don't know where this is going. I told my dad what happened, and he said that my teacher was probably a member of PETA. He said they love animals very much. I do too, especially chicken, pork, and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened, and he laughed too, and then he told me not to do it again. So the next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was, and I told her it was chicken. She asked me why, so I told her it was because you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office. He laughed and told me not to do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked me to tell her what famous person I admired most. I told her Colonel Sanders. Guess where I am now? I don't know why that's funny, but it's kind
it's
of funny.
Funny.
Okay.
What did the Easter egg say to the others? Heard any good yolks lately?
Just say no to drugs. Well, I mean, if I'm talking to drugs, I probably already said yes.
What did the grape say when it got stepped on?
Hmm.
Nothing. It just let out a little whine.
I asked my wife if I was the only one she slept with.
Oh, boy.
She said the others were sevens and eights. I'm glad that you think that's funny. You're weird.
I once dated a smoking hot magazine publisher.
Ooh.
It didn't last. She had issues.
Koi fish always travel in groups of four. If they're attacked, koi A, koi B, and koi C will scatter, leaving behind the decoy. Somebody had to think about that.
Yeah.
They had to think about that.
The word misspelled.
Oh.
Is misspelled in every dictionary.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I want to open a restaurant that fuses Chinese and Middle Eastern cuisine. I'll call it Walk Like an Egyptian. walk.
I
did you get it? Okay.
Biden visits clinic for drug and alcohol testing. After being instructed, they found Joe. After being instructed, they found Joe standing in the hallway, pants around his ankles, holding an empty plastic cup and mumbling, "I wanted pudding."
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
Oh, smoking will kill you. Baking. Bacon will kill you, but smoking bacon will cure it.
Well, did you know Spider-Man has a winter jacket that's made entirely of Mediterranean flatbread? It's a pita parka.
Peruvian owls always hunt in pairs because they're Inca hoots.
Oh, God. What do you get when you cross a parrot with a woodpecker?
Oh.
A bird that talks in Morse code? That's dumb.
If New York City had any cojones, they'd prosecute their corrupt prosecuting attorneys, politicians, and judges, but they only have the one ball, and they drop it every year. Ooh, a little salty.
A guy walks into a bar in Scotland and sees three large ladies sitting at a bar. He says, "Are you ladies from Scotland?" They answered, "No, Wales." He replies, "Oh, are you Wales from Scotland?"
That's terrible. You're dying.
That's funny.
Son says, "Hey, Dad, I saw a man on TV do 50 push-ups. Could you do that?" Dad says, "Sure, not to brag, but I could probably watch someone do 100 push-ups."
I do. My wife fainted on the baggage carousel at the airport. Thankfully, she came around.
Oh, gosh. I think the orthopedic shoes... Oh, I didn't think the orthopedic shoes would help, but I... Stand corrected.
After spending 20 minutes trying to get my wife's bra off, I decided to give up. I wish I'd never put it on now.
What do you call a fairy that hasn't bathed? Stinkerbell. What do you get when you cross a parrot with a centipede? A walkie-talkie. And how about this? What's the difference between a special forces member of the Navy and an otter? One is a seal... The other is an otter. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back on Monday. Love you all. Peace.